Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the Wizarding World. Be warned, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Bayana.
And I'm Robin. We were really excited to go through the OG 7 books and discuss all our thoughts and feelings about the books. But today we're discussing scenes 8 through 16 of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, so we're not excited is not the word.
No.
But we're not like... I'm not dreading it yet.
No. It's just not, you know, it doesn't have the same sauce.
It's happening. It's a thing that we're doing. First, we have some announcements and reminders. This is an interactive podcast, so we want to know your thoughts. So please feel free to tweet along with us. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to join the conversation.
Love our blog. Love Wizard Team. Have a few extra galleons lying around. Donate to Black Girls Create. Check out our new Patronus perks. And send us a cheering charm at blackgirlscreate.org/donate.
And we have Black Girls Create merch. So head over to our website to step up your nerd, fashion, and stationery game.
And if you want to support us but don't have the funds to do so, or even if you do, rate and review us on iTunes.
Also, subscribe to Black Witches Weekly, our newsletter curated by Wizard Bay Deborah with nerd news and links to what's been going on. So if you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. You can do that at blackgirlscreate.org.
And now for Wizard Team News.
So Black Wizard History Month is around the corner. We are halfway through January already.
Oh my god.
Wild, but we out here. So join us in February to celebrate Black Witches, Wizards, and Potterheads using the hashtag Black Wizard History. We'll of course have like lots of content, we'll have Twitter events, we have some live tweets, Twitter chats, some really cool things that we'll probably announce next week or the week after. I don't know what today is, so some point soon. but anyway, it's about to be tight, and we're super excited, so yeah.
For the Black Wizard History Critical Companion, we'd like to publish essays about your favorite Black characters in magical fiction, how you think representation of Black magical people can be improved upon, and about your favorite magical Black worlds and stories. Send us your pitches at pitches@blackgirlscreate.org. And this is not solely Harry Potter. We want to hear about Black magical people in any and all.
Yeah, folks have been talking about, I don't watch it, but like Sabrina, the new Sabrina show, I know there's like Black characters in there. You talk about like Homegirl from the Craft.
True Blood
has black magical people. I don't watch vampires.
True Blood it's ridiculous. It might help you with your vampire phobia because it's so ridiculous.
I don't know. Anyway, there's lots of things. It can be Harry Potter if you want it to be, but we're also like looking to expand from that a little bit. We're still out here with the Harry Potter stuff, but there are a lot of other places and works and a lot of things created by
Black magicalness in Harry Potter
that at we all. Don't create. Right, exactly. And so, I also think that there are also like books coming out by Black authors that have like magic in them and have like witches and wizards and that kind of thing. So like,
shout
you know,
out to Toby Adame.
It could be like a lot of things. So if you have a pitch, we pay $50 per piece. We do two. It's only two in the month, but we pay $50 for each Critical Companion piece that we publish. So you know, even if you just want a little, it's not a lot of coin, but if you just want a little coin, hit us up at pitches@blackgirlscreate.org.
And if you want us to be able to give more coin, become a Patronus.
And then boom.
We want to give more coin.
We definitely want to give more coin. But you know what doesn't want to give more coin? Our budget.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, we could be like, hey, look here, budget.
We ballin'.
We can do this.
Yes.
And then the budget will be like, you right. And then we'll pay more. It'll be great.
I love how I used to get in trouble for saying the blog was sentient, but the budget just got a whole bunch of opinions.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like when you want to get something and then your wallet is like, fam, be cool. So the budget is the wallet.
I know, but
Magical birthdays. So shout out to Joy, whose birthday was on Tuesday.
Hey! Woo-hoo! Woo-woo!
Yeah, turn up. Joy is awesome and does lots of really cool Doctor Who things in the Doctor Who world. So you should...
Are there magical black people in Doctor Who? There's not that much, like, magic. Magical science.
I don't know that it counts.
Yeah. But there are magical people in the Doctor Who world, and Joy is definitely one of them.
Yes, in the fandom.
In the fandom.
So, yeah, shout out to Joy. Happy birthday. And I think that's it. So, let's...
Well, we're going to recap?
Oh, previously.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know why that wasn't, but I think because last week...
There was no previously.
There was not previously on Wizard Team.
Newt's commander
is a fool.
He may be illiterate. I don't know. He has never heard of the Statute of Secrecy.
Is this mine?
No, this is mine.
Oh.
It's underneath you.
I was like, wow, it just disappeared. That's
Newt
crazy.
Has never heard of the Statute of Secrecy. Just straight up said, I don't know her. I still don't know her.
Mm-hmm. Not even in Britain. Had never really
just
felt that emotion.
Never. Was like, secret? What?
He said, I'm coming across the Atlantic, going through Muggle customs.
With all my creatures.
With all of my creatures in my briefcase TARDIS that has a, like, faulty lock.
Which is like, dude, just before you get on the boat, swing over to Diagon Alley and get the lock fixed.
There's a spell for that.
Like, just... What? It gonna take you, like, 10, 20 minutes? Like, you... What? So anyway, Newt gets to New York, wild out. And his cutest little niffler got some coin. Or sniffed out some coin. And was like, I like that. I would like more. And dipped. Meanwhile, we got black mist destroying things. That's like all we know about it right now.
Yeah,
we've got black mist destroying.
Grindelwald is out in the world at large.
Witches live among us, says Miss Barebone.
Miss Barebone, who is against that and is basically back in the 17th century.
I'm not one for hate. I'm not one for... I don't appreciate her methods, but she's right. Witches live among us. I don't think we should do nothing about that, but, I mean, that is a fact.
They do that.
Obviously, because Newt is just...
Wildin'. He's doing a lot.
He ran into... we haven't done that yet. No, yeah. He ran into Jacob Kowalski.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to the bank.
He's a muggle.
And in front of the bank, there was a protest in which Miss Barebone was letting us know that witches live among us, which is a fact. And Tina Goldstein is being the worst undercover cop.
Oh, my God.
Like, collar up, hat down, not at all suspicious.
Dog, just peeking.
Peeking.
Like, okay, girl.
I mean, I would have never. I look at her and I think, yeah, she's not a fed.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Mm-mm.
Cool. So that's where we are. But first, before we get in, let's break for our sponsors. All right. So, scene 8. We're in the lobby of the bank. So this is after the Niffler has, like, escaped from Newt, grabbed some coins, and is like, we had a bank, fam.
The Niffler
my
is
lucky day.
Literally chasing a bag.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And can you be mad at him about
Not
it?
Not really, honestly.
It's like what he's here for.
That's what I stand.
I know.
You know?
When you find your purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. What the universe and everything in the world has aligned for you to do and be, do that.
Yeah.
The Niffler makes points.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So it's a large, impressive-looking bank atrium in the center. There's behind a golden counter. Clerks are busy working at work serving customers. Newt skids to a halt at the entrance of the space and looks around. His dress and demeanor make him out of place amongst the smartly dressed New Yorkers. And I'm like, does it? He just has on a blue coat.
He has on a blue coat. In the movie.
And, like, he has on blue and yellow. But in the movie, everybody wears gray. So I guess in that case, sure. Because we're living in, like, I know
dystopian
you didn't.
Times.
Well, it's like, you didn't watch The Powerpuff Girls, right? I doubt it. Okay.
I'm an old.
But I know. That's why I was like, but you know, you never know. Power of Girls is a mood. Anyway, there's this one episode where Rainbow the Clown gets hit by bleach and he turns into like this evil mime. And so he like leeches color from everything. And then they have
bleach to, don't do that.
It is a cartoon and people have superpowers.
Okay.
These are preschoolers with superpowers. So then like Bubbles is like coloring, so she's the color everything, and then they sing a song at the end that brings all the color back. And then it's out of pocket because then Rainbow gets arrested, even though it wasn't his fault. It was the bleach's fault. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, that's in my head.
J.K. Rowling is Bubbles?
J.K. Rowling is Rainbow the Clown. Oh, she's right. Bleaching the color out.
Yes.
And Newt is Bubbles.
Yes. That is a...
that's an analogy.
That is what that is.
Episode, though. It's such a good episode. Because she takes her crayons and she's like, what happened to all the colors? And then she's like coloring the like stop sign. It's
like Who Framed Roger Rabbit type of situation. the age difference.
No, I was too. Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I know, but I'm like,
I too was too young.
I was too young for Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh yeah, no.
I mean, I wasn't too young because everyone is. You get to that movie when you get to it.
But also, there's levels to it because when I watched it as a kid, I was like, cool, and then I watched it older, and I was like,
ooh,
oh snap.
But yeah, what I mean to say is, I was not a kid when Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out. I came to that later.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, I just think...
I just want them to have better, like... Because he shouldn't stand out because he's wearing a blue coat.
Right, and I think that, like, there's a way in which... And I, again, this is, like, the problem with reading a script is... I mean, it's the good and bad of reading a script, right? Because you have to imagine how these things will be visualized onto a screen.
Yeah.
Because it is inherently writing visual cues. But at the same time, like we talked about this a little bit too, when she was like, I like to write the other and the marginalized, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's like, you can't just say that he doesn't belong and he stands out and he looks like everyone else.
He
like,
does. He literally does.
He literally, he has like a bit more, like, he's not even on the Archie Ainslow tip. Like he walks in with a bit more color.
He has on pants. He has on boots. He's wearing a three-piece suit, a coat, and they just have, it's just, you know, it's a yellow waistcoat.
Yeah. And, like, the other thing, too, is, like, you can make this bank all three, everybody boring and monochrome and gray and three-scale bank. He's in New York.
Like, right. That's not a thing.
It doesn't like, stand, that is they not really standing could, out.
Like, the thing is like, especially because as we see is this, like, as these scenes in particular go along, like, Newt has really no regard for Muggles or the Statute of Secrecy. And so, like, he could be out here in robes or, like, in some kind of, like, dress
the
or
fact
some
that
kind
he's
of,
not
like,
in robes
random.
Is the most, like,
it just felt like he could have been dressing in the way that, like, we see in the original series how, like, wizards notoriously do not know how to dress like Muggles. So, like, he could come in with, like, a top hat and a dang, like, he could have a lot going. He could have on a bathrobe and, like,
right.
You know what
and
I mean?
And it would also, like, give the humor of, like, literally not belonging there and people being like, look at this crew.
What is he
because
doing?
Also, in New York, a dude walking into a bank in a bathrobe and a top hat or whatever, you're like, ooh, you don't belong here. But also, like, you know, this is not New York, but in, like, the first week I moved to San Francisco, someone shat on the bus, on the public bus that I was on. And I was like, oh my God. Everyone else on the bus was just like, oop, get off. Like, that happened. And it stood out to me because I was like, y'all are not tripping?
That
really
sucks for the bus driver.
The bus driver was like, out of service.
Oh,
and I was
gosh.
Like, and like the smoothness in which it happened.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, this is going to scar me.
Yeah.
Forever. And I'm sure that like, people like native San Francisco, people that lived in the city for a long time, they all have that scarring moment, that first whatever. But everyone on that bus at least had like scabbed over. They were like, I mean,
what are you gonna do?
Disgusting.
Yeah, but I gotta get to work.
And so I do think that like that kind of setup would work because it also brings in, this goes back to what we were talking about with, like, she did not write New York. She wrote.
No.
She didn't even write London.
No. She wanted the Muggles to be, like, boring, drab. But then she also wrote the wizards that way. Or I don't know that she wrote it all. She also let, like, the costume designers and the directing and all that kind of stuff happen, yeah, too. And it's not that, like, she had all the control over that, but she did allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so, it's one of those things, like, even when we were talking in the last episode, like, how this opens, it's like the whimsy is gone. And so, to the point where this man walking in a blue peacoat is
wild.
Is whimsy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, snap, what's he doing with his floppy hair? He got on all these colors.
His dress and demeanor make him out of place among the smartly dressed New Yorkers.
Not if, like...
And...
Like, throw some Archie in there. Throw some, even Cornelius Fudge.
Right.
Like,
some,
you know what I'm
like
saying?
A lime green bowler hat.
Or the, what was it?
The red boots or something like that.
No, I just started thinking about the, he did, like, have on red boots.
Looking like Christmas Sunday. Tree.
He was. No, I just started thinking about the bowler hat in Cursed Child again.
The sorting hat.
The sorting
hat. The sorting bowler hat.
Anyway, so the bank employee looks suspicious at Newt and is like, can I help you? And Newt is like, no, I was just waiting. He motions toward a bench and backs away, taking a seat next to Jacob. Tina peers at Newt from behind a pillar, because again, she's a normal
human
woman.
She's undercover.
She's like, what a deep cover, deep cover.
So also, sorry, in the chat, because I want to get back to this. Mm-hmm. Amani says they're in Harlem in the 1920s, and Samnika makes the point that, I mean, if it was actually New York, he would have stood out because he's the only white guy,
right,
in a bank,
well,
in Harlem.
He in Harlem?
He's not in
now?
Harlem yet. They're not in Harlem.
They're
yet.
They're not Harlem yet, I don't think.
But
he's definitely not only in Harlem in the
yeah,
thing.
In the thing. That's,
but they are in Harlem at a point in time.
Yeah.
So it's like they definitely go to Harlem, but I don't think they're there yet.
But like, yeah, so like, but I do think that, again, 1920s fashion too
is like popping. I remember in high school when we like learned about the 20s, and I was like, yo,
they were out here
golden, like, are we talking about fashion
golden age?
Come on. And then they put these, okay, anyway, I'm gonna keep going. Anyway, Tina's over here being super discreet. Jacob strikes up a conversation with Newt. He's like, what brings you here? And Newt says, Newt is like trying to look for the Niffler. He's really not subtle. He's like, same as you. And Jacob's like, you're here to get a loan to open up a bakery? Yes, says Newt. And Jacob's like, well, what are the odds of that? Like, he's just like, I guess, you know, gotta do what we gotta do.
Right.
Newt spots the Niffler, which is now stealing coins from someone's bag.
I stand.
He's getting his own bag, you know what I'm saying?
I stand.
Mad, get a bag.
He's like, I mean, what do you want from me?
I'll pouch your bag to my own. Okay.
Right. I am who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I just.
Yeah.
He's a fave.
Yeah. So Jacob holds out his hand, like, to shake or whatever, but Newt is off. Excuse me. He darts away. In the place on his bench lies a large silver egg. So this is.
Which, like, that part just makes no
it's
sense.
It's really
to
unnecessary
me.
For the story and also. Or for the story, for this, like, particular scene. But it's. I think it's one of the first. Not the first, because I think the opening scene is the first. It just shows how many things are going on.
Yeah.
And like, she's trying to stuff entirely too many things into it. And so this is one of those moments where it's small because it's like it's only for the scene, and it plays a purpose, I think. It plays the purpose to get Jacob and Newt, like, together, but they didn't have to use that.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't act like they could have done something that was much smaller.
Well, they switch cases. Like, that is the thing.
On its
but
own,
it
yeah.
Also, it's like, it's one of those, in the last episode of Doctor Who, we're sure that this woman dies. Like, she, like, goes off. She has this whole brave, like, I'm sacrificing myself.
We don't actually, like, see it.
And we don't see it, but, like, she, like, where else is she gonna go? And then she just pops up out of nowhere in the last scene with no explanation. Nothing. They just, oh, you're back. And it's like, there needed to be something, some,
yeah,
like, hint, something that's like, okay, this is how she probably maybe have gotten away, could have gotten away. This is, like, one of the things, like, there's no, like, his briefcase pops open. He doesn't, like put his hands in his pocket.
Right, like,
and
why
then,
did he, like, where was
the egg come from?
And the fact that you were walking out, yeah, he's, like, the fact that you're, like, The whole point is you're trying to keep all these things in this briefcase.
Right.
And, like, yes, the Niffler came out, got out or whatever, but, like, you've been carrying the briefcase. So right. Does it just fall out and you don't know? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And, yeah. Honestly, like, after this, like, Newt really needs to go to wizard jail. Not wizard prison.
No.
Azkaban is a lot.
Azkaban is a lot.
But wizard holdings, like, or something. Like, somebody, he needs a fine.
He needs something.
Or, like, a damn.
I mean, I might be so bold as to obliviate him and send his butt back to Hogwarts. Start all over, like something. Remedial class. You know what? No, that is the non-wizarding prison thing. So when you're, like, if you're a driver and if you have a license or whatever and you have so many infractions, they make you take classes again.
Mm-hmm.
Or they revoke your license. But, like, which is, like, how has Hagrid got his wand snapped and Newt out here?
He's just out here.
Wildin', yeah. I don't know. But, like, he should have to take classes again.
Like hey, this is how you don't leave
your stuff lying around. That's
right. Come on, dude. Like, he's not like he's muggle-born. It's not like he has grown up in the world where, like, yes, the American, like, Wizarding Society is stricter, but even the stuff that he's doing at this point
wouldn't fly in Britain
at all.
No.
Like, Harry, I mean, granted, they were coming for Harry, but, like, even that second year they weren't coming for Harry. Like, Harry had been, like, given warnings for less.
Yeah.
Even before they didn't do before they were actually out to get him.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay. Anyway.
just an egg, though. I'm just like, girl.
So then Jacob's calling after him, hey, mister. And he's like, hey, fella. But he picks up the egg. And the secretary comes out and is like, Mr. Kowalski, Mr. Bingley would like to see you now. He pockets the egg, which I'm like,
why?
Just leave it. I would literally be like, hey, yo, you left your thing. And somebody's like, oh, I need you. I'd be like, all right.
Well,
game is the game.
Right.
I tried. I'd talk to the secretary and be like, hey, somebody, this dude left this thing.
Yeah.
If he comes back, can you just give it to him? And then go about my business. At that point, it's no longer my business.
I mean, I feel like that's how humans work.
Right.
But that's not how J.K. Rowling's humans work.
It's plot. It's, like, very much, it feels contrived because she's trying to, like, build up. And not to say that, like, this scenario couldn't happen, but it's like when you're reading, you can see her mind working. You can see the behind the curtain kind of.
Yeah. But it also, again, is not a New Yorker, a big city person before 9/11, before whatever, even in the 1920s. I have to believe that you're just not pocketing some dude's egg.
Random egg.
You're not taking ownership of something that you know nothing about. Like, they live in a big city. So like, as much as like certain, I don't know. No, New York is, like, notorious for this. People mind their business. Like, that's how you survive in a big city.
And, like, I get that they're, like, on a certain point, right? Like, there has to be a certain level of not minding your business when you're, when you're telling a story. Like, folks have to be nosy or something has to, like, you know what I mean? Because they have to drive the story. So I get that.
But if the egg started to wobble or do something that caught his interest, but it was just sitting there.
Right. So, anyway. So he pockets it and he goes he leaves to go see Mr. Bingley. Angelon Newt, who is surreptitiously pursuing the Niffler as it moves through the bank. He finally spots it, removing a glittering buckle from a lady's shoe.
Love this.
Which I stan. And then Newt watches helpless as the Niffler jumps lively between cases and into bags, snatching and pilfering. So, like, I stan, but also, how is nobody seeing this weird-ass creature jumping between things, snatching stuff off a belt,
perception filter,
shoes? No. Because if that was the case, Newt wouldn't be trying to get him all discreetly. You know what I mean? He'd be like...
built-in perception filter. They're like, there's a rat, and I don't want to look. I don't know, man.
No.
But I do... maybe he's just light.
Muggles don't see much of anything, do they?
Nope. There you go.
It only works so much. Like, it only works, like...
so far.
So far. At a certain point, it's like, now we see shit.
You're
like,
in a bank.
You're in a bank.
And someone is in your purse?
Right. It's literally at your shoe, pulling a buckle from your shoe.
Right. Your shoe doesn't get looser? Like, you're not looking down.
Is it because I'm black that I'm like, if some, like, because I actually don't really care about shoes that much.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather not wear shoes. But I'm like, is it because I'm black that I'm like, somebody's on my shoe? I'm like,
no, I mean, there's like, a level of like personal space.
Yeah. Like, you would, like, feel it.
There is a thing that I've noticed with people, white people, the bubble. Mm. And it's not all white people, but there are, like, when I notice people who don't have that, like, sense of bubble, sense of personal space,
yeah,
they tend to be white. And they're, like, they're in places like this, if it's busy and, like, the, I'm assuming the bank is, like, busy and stuff, like, you are going to lose a lot of personal space. Mm-hmm. But there, like, there is that layer. Like, there's just, like, this layer, and your foot, like, on your foot. Is and one of those
pulling something from your shoe,
which is like at the least you would think someone's like
or you accidentally down.
Knocked down and is stepping on your foot or something, and you tap like excuse yeah. me, you know what I mean? You're on my foot,
or you'd like look down and yeah. you see a big ass Niffler on there and be like, what the?
He's not that big. He's small and cute,
but it's like it's big enough. To like yeah, especially if you don't know what it is.
Yeah,
like I don't care. Like if you see some weird creature, it's huge.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it just. Yeah. Okay, scene 9. We're in Bingley's office. Mr. Bingley is examining Jacob's business proposal. And so as it's happening, it's an uncomfortable silence. The egg has started to vibrate in Jacob's pocket. Which is also real, like, convenient. You know, it's just, like, mm-hmm. adding more, like... It reminds me of Kershaw when they're like, Harry, you might not ever turn back to yourself. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you don't actually need that. Like, there's enough tension going on right now. So Bingley asks Jacobs. We found out he's working at a canning factory. And Jacob just got back from Europe in 1924, which is 2 years before this. Mm-hmm. He was a part of the expeditionary forces there. He mimes a digging action afterwards in the vain hope that a joke might help his cause. So basically, it's just awkward situation happening. Yeah. And then scene 10, back of the room of the bank moments later. We cut back to Newt seeking the Niffler, who's ended up waiting in line for the bank teller. He's craning his neck, peering toward the bag of a lady in the front of the line. Tina watches him from behind a pillar still. Just watching. Like, it really hasn't popped up and been like, what are you doing? Why do you have the Niffler out? Like, we gotta go. She's not helping. She's just watching.
She's being stealth.
Sneaky.
Stealth. You would never guess that there's a cop watching.
Mm-mm. So, coins are spilling from underneath a bench. Newt hears it. Sees small paws hastily gathering them up. The Niffler sits under the bench looking fat and smug. Now its attention is caught by the shiny tag hanging from the neck of a small dog. So now he's going to the dog. Like, I'm just trying to get all your shit. Newt starts forward and dives into the bench. The Niffler runs, scuttling over the bank counter screens and out of Newt's reach.
Also, just as a dog owner, the dog for sure is clocking this.
The dog starts barking.
It's like...
The dog snarls and barks.
But so, the dog... When the dog appears, I'm like, oh no, he would have been barking... When Niffler was at the lady's shoe,
mm-hmm.
like he would have been like from the moment the Niffler stepped in the bank,
would have been like,
yo, do y'all not see that thing?
Yeah.
Let me get at that thing. I need to investigate, possibly eat it, possibly mm-hmm. play with it. Cause that's how dogs roll. They're literally just furry toddlers. And like, you cannot tell me that like a dog does not sniff something wholly new
mm-hmm.
and it's not like
what is that
I
also want to say this could have been the whole movie
mm-hmm.
like he could have caught the Niffler, Tina could have caught him, and the Niffler would have been like, oh, I'm out again. Like it could have just been them going after the creatures,
which is also
what it is, because the thing is that the case is gonna, like, spoilers or whatever, the case is gonna open and then they're gonna have to go and like get them back to like
mm-hmm.
Like bring them back safely. And I remember in the beginning when they first announced it, that was essentially what the movie was, and then they add the other stuff, so you can very much see as you're going what the movie was supposed to be and what they just like added in to make it more Grindelwald-y.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, we talked about this before, I think in our like recap, and I was like, it felt like WB was like, there's not enough Harry Potter in this right. Harry Potter spinoff that has nothing to do with Harry Potter. And again, I really loved that part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the, like, my creatures have escaped and we need to catch them and we need to do it discreetly because statute of secrecy, even though, or Tina,
and even Tina with being, Tina, or like the,
being
or
like the being straight like man, the, like, you know what I mean? The straight man, to like Tina being like, we have to do this discreetly. This is important, but also like there's a statute to maintain. And Newt just being like, I don't know, man, just do what you gotta do. I gotta get my creatures.
Right, like, and then on top of that, having, like, Makuza or whatever being like, yo, who is this dude?
Who is this dude?
Catch him and get him, like...
get him out.
Yeah, that could be it.
That's a great story.
It's a great story. And I honestly think that's where it started.
Yeah.
And then they decided, but what if there was Nazis? Which I think, like, you know, when you have that thought, maybe don't.
I mean, can that just be... the slogan for 2020 and beyond?
Like,
if you think of Nazis, don't.
Maybe don't.
Not maybe. Don't.
Yeah. You could just do other things. There are other stories worth telling.
Yep.
Okay. So scene 11 in Bingley's office. Jacob opens his case with great pride. Inside is displayed a selection of homemade pastries. He's like, you gotta try the... Is it... I had missed
Paxi.
I meant to look it up, and we talked about it last episode. I didn't. you gotta try this.
I'm also like noticing because I read this, but I was like, I stopped taking on my last note was in scene 7, and it wasn't even a good note. It was just an underline, and then I just read it, and I was like, I mean, it's happening, but I have no. No burning questions, no thoughts that pop out.
So he's like, you gotta try the Paxi. It's my grandmother's recipe, the orange zest, my question personally was, how's the proof?
Right? What's the crust?
I was like, is it flaky?
Is the bottom soggy?
Is it short? I don't remember.
What would Mary Berry say?
Yeah, I was like, how are the layers?
Yep.
Are the flavors?
I think it's really important that we just ask, you know. Is the fill good?
Mm-hmm.
So a Paxi is a crepe. It's a filled donut found in Polish cuisine.
Okay.
And it's
so
glazed.
Is it like a bread? So then
it's like a filled glazed donut.
So then really we're not looking. We're looking for the proof. We're looking for the airiness.
Yes. Yeah.
So, no, not layers. We're looking for like the airiness and the crumb structure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yeast based. So, you know, the rise.
Yeah. The rise is really important. You got to make sure that yeast is happy. You know what I'm saying? Give it space.
And then once you do all of that. How is the fill? Are you overfilling it? Is it bursting?
Is it like bursting out? Is it too much?
Is it not enough?
Yeah. Right? You take a bite and it's just the bread.
It's just dough. That's not good.
Yeah. And right? What about like the glaze? Is it too sweet? Because that could be a problem.
That could also be a problem. Yeah. The filling, is there flavor? What is the flavor profile? What are the flavor combinations?
But he says orange zest, but like what's the other thing?
It can't just be orange. That's boring.
No. Yeah. Because it doesn't like that.
If this is your signature, you gotta bring it. You know,
especially if you're trying to like, if you're trying to like, you know, start a business,
right? This is your signature dish.
Yeah,
might be a showstopper.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's the signature, and then you're gonna close. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, what we really need to talk about. Just really get into it.
Yeah.
Is if this is your signature dish and it's orange zest, what are you saying? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I worry about your taste level.
Is it a celebration of pastry?
Mm. That's the question, though.
Yeah.
You know?
You know? I'm curious.
It's his grandmother's recipe. Did he modernize it? Did he put a twist on it? Did he put a spin on it? Is there anything
that
makes this Paxi stand out?
So, like, I'm guessing no, because Bingley just asked about collateral. Like, he's more like, I just want to know the business. He's not worried about. So, I think that it's probably not.
To be honest, if your showstopper's not there, then I am worried. I'm like, what collateral is important.
Yeah, I think so.
If you know, you got something in there that's, like, undeniable... Then I'm not really that worried about collateral.
No, right.
You know, I'm going to give you a handshake and let's move forward.
Exactly. The very least a handshake.
The very least.
You might get Starbaker, but that might be pushing it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You know.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening.
To the Great Wizard Team Bake Off.
Literally the only.
It's like all I really had.
Interesting.
It's all I had for this episode. So Bingley says there are machines now that can produce hundreds of donuts an hour, which, like, you know.
Why is Imani asking what fried blast in its Greek tastes like? That's not a bake. I mean, maybe you could put it in a pie, but we don't want that.
They don't exist at this time, so.
Oh, that's off of that as well.
I'm going to just stick with that. Eww. No, we're not putting that in a pie. Ugh. Ugh. Okay. Anyway, Bingley is basically like, the bank must be protected. And good day. So he's just like, we're not doing it. But that's because he only put orange zest in there. Like, what else was he bringing to the table?
And we didn't get to see. I mean, I think I kind of remember in the movie that there was some presentation, you know?
But later. I don't remember if there was presentation.
Yeah, early. But it's like you're bringing out.
He had the show. He did bring the showstoppers.
When in a briefcase.
In the briefcase. Like, why? Like, where is the. I mean, I don't know. Do they have Tupperware at that time? I don't think so. But, like, some do. Kind of, like.
Like, it's not cloth. Tupperware TM. Yeah, but no. They, yeah, you know, like had dishes and, like, you know, like a.
Some kind of. The presentation is.
Yeah. What is this oven called? The Scottish oven? No. It's like. It's called an oven. Something oven. Which is, like, the type of pan that you then also put in the oven. And it's, like, cast iron. I'm like, it can be pretty ornate.
Yeah. I can't remember.
What is that called? But, yeah. Like, you know, something. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Mr. Bingley, I laugh because of Pride and Prejudice, dismisses. And then we're into scene 12, behind the bank counters, moments later. And the Niffler is sitting on a trolley covered in money bags, which it greedily empties into its pouch as Newt watches through the security bars, aghast. A guard pushes the trolley away down the corridor. So the guard is, like, pushing the trolley while this, like, money is flying around. And it's just, like, minding his business about it?
Mm-hmm. That's it. Doesn't notice it at all.
Doesn't at all. And, like, I do wonder, like, is it a thing where, like, only magical people can see the Niffler? That would be a cool, like, magical attribute to give it.
Yeah.
If that was the case. Yeah. But we're just, like, these, like, again, muggles don't notice what, you know.
Nah.
And that's it. That's the only reason.
Yeah. And then scene 13, this is where it gets
off the rails.
Wild. So Jacob, downcast, exits Bingley's office. His bulging pocket vibrates. He pulls the egg out. The Niffler is still sitting on the trolley, which is now being pushed into an elevator. Jacob sees Newt in the distance and says, "Hey, Mr. English guy, I think your egg is hatching." Which, okay. Newt looks hurriedly between Jacob and the shutting elevator doors before making a decision. He points his wand at Jacob. Jacob and the egg are pulled magically across the bank atrium toward Newt in a split second. They disapparate. So first, you're not supposed to be allowed, or you're not supposed to be able to accio people.
No.
That's like, there's a whole thing about it being the speed of light. It's like, you're not, it's
dangerous.
Yeah. So that's not supposed to be possible. And then, he's just flouting the statue. He said, "I don't give a fuck. I'm just out here accioing, like, I'm just out here accioing muggles." That's wild.
The other thing, too, is, like, yes, you want to get the Niffler as quickly as you can, but you still do have magic, and presumably, it's your Niffler. Like, you have a relationship with this animal, and so, like, yeah, you're, like, focused on that, but you could stop, pause, be like, "Let me deal with bruh, just go grab my egg, say thank you, and then get back to the Niffler." Like, accioing him across, I don't know if it was accio. I think there must have been another spell, because, like, in the movie, he, like, pulls across.
I can't remember.
Like, it's like he's, like, on a slide or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I mean, at this point, she's not even trying to make spells that coincide with, like, she's like, magical thing happens.
Imagine, yeah.
But it doesn't take that much time to go, "Thanks, sir, grab your egg," and then go back to chasing after the
Niffler. And then apparate. Like, leave, like, get out of his sight and apparate.
Yeah.
But this man.
Like, all of the things that he does just causes, it just doesn't.
It makes everything worse. Yeah. And it's wild. Tina stares incredulously from behind. So she hasn't left the pillar. She's just been at this pillar the whole time watching all this happen. Scene 14, we're at the back room of the bank staircase. Newt and Jacob apparate into the narrow stairwell leading to the bank's vaults. Newt gently takes the egg back from Jacob as it hatches. Which, are you allowed? Should you take, like, eggs, hatching eggs?
No.
Through apparition? Like, shouldn't that have, like, done some damage?
Anyway, and probably it accelerated the hatching.
Or something. So there's a small blue snake-like bird, an Akami. Which, like...
An augury?
No. Oh, no. No, ma'am. But, like, why are you leaving hatching eggs? Like, I just feel like the fact that it was hatching just, again, it just is compounding in a way that is not really necessary.
I mean, it does make Newt, so for some godforsaken reason, Newt has been kicked out of Hogwarts.
I wonder why.
Which never, I mean, well, yes, but, like, which they never actually explore. It's just, like, oh, he doesn't fit in. Mm-hmm. He got expelled from Hogwarts. Which, I mean, yeah, considering his behavior, I do get it. But they don't actually
go into that.
Touch on it, yeah. When you get expelled from Hogwarts, at least when it happened to Hagrid.
His wand got snapped.
They snapped his wand.
But maybe, well, I guess it depends on what he did. But yeah, they definitely snapped his wand.
Yeah.
But I don't he's know not that a Newt licensed... was accused of, like... murdering a muggle girl.
But also, yeah, but like, is he a licensed wizard?
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, this, like, it makes Newt seem like a bumbling idiot, mm-hmm. who also is like this, they kind of do this with Hagrid, like, she does this with Hagrid, but she has a better balance of Hagrid, like, leads with his heart, does all these things, that he fundamentally cares for the animals and mm-hmm. doesn't, besides creating a blasting group, my God. But he does not actively harm or try to harm
yeah.
any of the animals, and feels a sense of, like, kinship and loyalty to them. Newt, you're supposed to get the sense that he's the same, but if, like, the egg is hatching... An apparition is, like, a violent thing where you can get splinched, you can do, mm-hmm. and he's apparating two people, and now an egg, like, in the middle, like, I don't know. It's either he's a super talented wizard, in which, like, how would he have gotten expelled?
Right.
Or he's an idiot. Or there's some, like, in between, but, like, these actions that he's doing don't allow for that.
You know what I think?
Hmm.
I think that J.K. Rowling was on deadline, but... season something of Doctor Who was on, or she decided Matt Smith's doctors were available on Amazon Prime for free to binge, and she was like, well, I'm gonna do this instead. And then when she started actually going to her story,
it seeped in.
She was like, it's a madman with a box.
I mean,
because that's what this is.
That is what this is.
But, like, not as good.
Well,
not to say that, I mean, like, we're not going to talk about this stuff. I mean, y'all know. But I mean,
Matt Smith's character.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the stories. Like,
yeah, Matt Smith's characterization
didn't mean that at all.
Was good.
I just, yeah. He knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
It's just a matter of if other
what
things,
they
other
had
people
him
doing
in, yeah.
is the question is what
but,
he they had him doing, but what
but
he was doing,
doctor.
He knew what it was. That's what we're trying to say.
We just had to clarify yeah. for a second. I was like,
yeah, no,
better.
No.
Okay, so
we're scene 14. So yeah, so the Akami hatches. And Newt takes the baby creature, carries him down the stairs. Jacob's like, excuse me. He looks confused because he's like, I was just up there. Now I'm here. What's going on? He's not, like, breathing heavily after being forced through a small tube. There's no, like, physical, reaction, which I think would have been cool to see. And that's not, like, I don't think, like, on the scheme of things, that's a big deal, but I think it could have been cool to see him, like, gasping and being like, what was that? As opposed to just being like, I was there and panicking. Now I'm here. Yeah, because I think that it's also the sensation. He has a look of, like, bewilderment. Yeah, but I think that it's not just the, like, what happened. It's, like, how it feels when you go through it. Yeah. So I think that would have been
I mean, because we get that, like, with Harry for a long time. He, every time he operates, he's like,
yo,
this is, I don't like it. Birds. Why I would rather not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, and he knows or has a sense of what he's getting into, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he operates the first time in class?
No, he does it with Dumbledore.
But he knows, but, like, he's, like, understands kind of what it is. Or, no, Dumbledore explains it to him.
Well, he knows what operating is, but he doesn't.
Yeah. But I'm saying the feeling and, like, no, he knows the first what
time
expect.
The first time he does it, he just side along and then they get out and he's like, oh, yikes, that was a.
Yeah. No, but and, but also, he's mad. Like, at that point, he's been in the magical world.
Right. And, like, all transportation is garbage there.
Except for flying. But I still personally think flying is garbage. I mean,
yeah.
For Harry, flying is.
Flying is cool, but long distance.
Yeah, cool.
Like, sure, we gonna fly around the. The backyard, for sure. Got cold, you. Cold. But, like, we going across the country? No thanks.
I mean, I think the flying car has points.
Well, the flying car.
If the invisibility boosters.
Yeah, lives. But not the flying broom.
No.
There's no insulation.
No. Yeah. Gotta be a car.
So, yeah. So, Jacob is doing the, I was over there, but now I'm over here or whatever. Scene 15, basement corridor of the bank. From Jacob's point of view, Newt is crouching down, opening his case. He carefully places the alchemy inside. And then he's like, in you hop. No, everybody settle down. Dougal, don't make me come in there. It's like, you don't have the time for that. You just put him in there, shut the case, lock it, keep going.
Make sure it's locked.
Yeah. So then we see a strange green. So Jacob is moving toward Newt, like, in shock. We see a strange green creature, part stick insect, part plant, poke his head out of Newt's breast pocket, intrigued. This is Pickett, a Bowchuckle, who is a cutie pie.
Cutie.
Also, it's really funny because I had taken Ami to Barnes & Noble, and we were about to check out, and there's, like, this lady and her son, and they were talking to, like, the person checking them out, who was trying to figure out, like, what the Bowchuckle was called. And they're like, what is it? Like, that green creature. And so, like, I knew they were talking about Harry Potter. So because I was like, oh, what are y'all talking about? And they're like, oh, it's that one creature from Fantastic Beasts. And I was like, oh, I probably don't know this. But then they, somebody pulled up a picture. And I was like, oh, it's a Bowchuckle. But, like, you know, I would have known that from. It's one of, like, I think one of the things of, like, about this particular movie that I appreciate is that they brought in the magical creatures that we learned about in the books that we didn't get to see in the movies.
Yeah.
Which,
again,
so
amazing plot line and premise.
Yeah.
Is to get to know a new facet of the world that we know very well, but obviously is much bigger than the contained story she was telling in the OG7.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know the parts of the world that are not touched by Harry Potter.
Right. Instead, they started there and then they squeezed it back in.
And retread old shit.
Mm-hmm. So Newt looks up to see the Niffler squeezing itself through locked doors into the central vault. Absolutely not, he says. He takes out his wand and points it at the vault and says, Alohomora. So just, again, flouting. The Statute of Secrecy has been flouted. Honestly, the Ministry of Magic, like the British Ministry of Magic, should have just slid through, like, nah, bro.
This is enough.
We're taking you to jail.
Yeah.
And, like, it would suck because they would be taking him to Azkaban. But, like, something gotta happen. It doesn't need to be that. But, at this point, he is absolutely a criminal doing crimes.
It's not even criminal.
He is, like, he's endangering his entire community.
Yes.
Real casually. Like, he it's just impressive. Keeps making it worse. Like,
it's impressive, like, yo, at this point.
Please.
So, Samnika says, why is it that the students who are expelled from Hogwarts are involved in magical beasts? It's almost as if Hogwarts is biased against pet lovers. And I don't want to, like, stress, too, it's not just Hogwarts. It's, like, the ministry and, like, everything as a whole. Because, like, they snapped Hagrid's wand. While Dumbledore was not in charge then, but, like, did not think, like, one, that Hagrid did it, but two, that if Hagrid did it, it wasn't malicious. It wasn't, yeah. It was like a failure of, basically, failure of teaching mm-hmm. and like letting these kids have access to like dangerous ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Imani says that Joanne and Moffat love repeating themselves with diminishing returns, and that is not the truth. But Maggie brings up an amazing point that if Newt was expelled from Hogwarts, that means Newt never got to take his newts.
Ayo.
But I'm and, you know, that's the question, ain't it?
It is. The other thing, too, is that, like, so when the, when Fantastic Beasts, like, the textbook was published, there's, like, a little backstory. I might have it somewhere, but I don't think I ever took it out of its packaging, so I've never opened it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Did you get me the big one? Maybe Akira got me the big
Iggy
one?
I think Iggy did. Yeah. But it was with my help, obviously. That's why I couldn't remember if I had actually done it, but I think it was her. But yeah, no, so, like, they had written, like, his whole little backstory, and in that, he had graduated from Hogwarts, and then when the movie came out, they reprinted.
Yeah.
To say, like, oh, no, he was expelled, which is, like,
it was unnecessary.
Take your fucking backstory and keep it.
Yeah.
Him being expelled really doesn't do nothing, but it's because she wants him to be
an outsider
and marginalized.
Which you can
while
be.
Still being white.
Hell, excuse me, someone who graduated from a predominantly white institution, graduated, did that shit. Also, and I was in Indiana. My California ass, my black California ass was in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about being an outsider, but you know what I did do? Get that damn diploma, because that's what I was there for. Outsider, marginalized, mm-hmm. outcast, be damned.
Yeah, well, she just wanted to make him white, and so she knew that she couldn't do that. What she was trying to do as a white person, if
I don't know how.
I don't
know. Do you know how many white dudes fell up?
I'm just guessing that that's what.
Look at our president.
No, I know that.
Look at their prime minister.
I'm saying in order to make them an outsider. They're not outsiders.
They're not.
They're presidents and prime ministers.
No, but I mean,
like, in order to, she's trying to twist it. She's like, I want to do outsiders, so I'm going to make all these things.
But an outsider doesn't mean that you didn't graduate from school. I mean, we're just going in circles
here.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not saying that that is what it is.
That,
I'm saying
that being her,
that's
like,
her
way of showing that he's an outsider to me is like, way to miss the fucking plot.
Yeah. Of your own story. That's
why. Of your own story.
So then Bingley comes around the corner just as the vault door starts to open.
Charles.
Which, like, why is Bingley just followed
Charles.
Jacob? I'm confused about Bingley, because did he come out of his office to watch Jacob and then watch him apparate? Okay.
Sorry.
I get it, but let's stop. I'm, like, wondering if, like, he just saw him apparate and then was like, I'm going to come follow him and see what he's doing, even though you don't know where he disappeared to. Or was he just on his way down in the first place? I think mostly they were just trying to have some unnecessary tension. Anyway, he's like, oh, so you're going to steal the money, huh? He hits a button on the wall.
Which is like a crazy leap to jump to.
So crazy.
Because he walks in, and I mean, yeah, you could be surprised
Newt's
to see
there,
Jacob
the
there.
Newt's there.
But Jacob is literally standing there like,
What is happening?
Like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
He's not, you know, in theft mode.
Right. Not even a little bit.
Not even stealth. He's standing in the middle of a hallway.
Like, yo, what's going on? So an alarm sounds. Newt petrifies the muggle.
Which, like,
which is a literal crime, even at home. Like, that at that point is like a crime. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, yes, you're not supposed to use magic on muggles. So you're not supposed to show magic to muggles. So the apparating would have been a problem. And you might get like a strongly worded letter.
But mostly they're like you
we'll
did
that,
and then you
and
needed to
obliviate
them and clean up your mess.
Yeah, and then we'll be all right. But you're like, petrificus totalis, bro?
That's assault.
Like, damn.
That's assault.
Also, these are first-year spells. I'm a... When did Newt get expelled?
Newt got expelled, man. He don't know.
But I'm like, when? I mean, not that, like, the basic ones don't. I mean, ask Harry Potter. They do their job. So Bingley stiffens, falls back to the ground. Jacob is like, what the hell? But Bingley in his paralyzed state is like Kowalski, but I'm like, did he not see Newt?
Right.
Or
just blaming the Polish person.
Also, this has no bearing on the rest of the story.
It really doesn't.
There is no consequence for Pedge finding the smuggle. Even him thinking that Jacob did it doesn't come back up again. It is just a thing that happens.
So Portia says, did Newt have no confidence in gaslighting Charles into thinking he hadn't seen apparition? I mean, no benefit of, and Samika says no benefit of the doubt. Like,
yeah.
Jacob is Polish, and in this time, that there's like racism there still. But like, so he's just like being, you know, like obviously I said no to you, and so you're
now you're now down you're here by the vault, so
down here stealing. But like, I don't even know, man. I don't even know.
Who knows? So Newt hurries in the vault. Inside, he finds the Niffer lying among hundreds of open deposit boxes and seated on a great pile of cash. The Niffer stares at Newt defiantly as it forces another gold bar into its already overflowing pouch. We stand.
Also, I love the idea of, like, him collecting gold and, like, jewels as, like, overeating.
Because
he's just like, oh, one more bite.
Care.
One like, more bite.
He's like, I'm doing what I want, Dad.
You're not even my real dad. You can't tell me.
You can't tell me what to do. So Newt grasps the Niffler tightly, turns it upside down, shaking it by its hind legs. A seemingly endless number of precious items fall out. And I'm just like, Newt, don't chase him. Chase your dreams. Like,
right?
Leave
He's
him
doing
alone.
This for you. You don't share. You got rent to pay. You got to find. You still got to find a hotel.
You got hateration.
You
got
to get your class fixed. And I'm sure the Newt Niffler would have loaned you some coin with a very, very reasonable interest rate.
It'd be your own people.
Right.
It's out of pocket. So Jacob is still watching in disbelief and almost queasy fear. Despite the altercation, Newt is fond of the Niffler. He grins and tickles its stomach, causing more treasure to pour out. Footsteps on the stairs as several armed guards run down and into the vault corridor. Oh no, don't shoot, says Jacob. And Newt quickly seizes Jacob, and the two of them, plus the Niffler and the case, disapparate. So scene 16, we're on the deserted side street next to the bank. Newt and Jacob apparate onto a side street. Security alarms are ringing from the bank. At the end of the side of the street, there are crowds gathering and police arriving. Tina runs out of the bank and looks down. She sees Newt wrestling the Niffler back into the case, Jacob cowering by a wall. So, like, how is it that they didn't apparate, like, further away?
Just right outside.
Just right outside, so Tina could easily, from her pillar,
their defense,
run back.
There's, like, this really cool... or not cool. I mean, there's funny, I think it's a Chappelle joke where he talks about, like, how in the 20s, like, people were just getting away with crimes. Like, there's no DNA, there's no, like, actual police work, and they'd be like, rob a bank, and be like, and tell them that Joey Joe and the Suggs game. You know what I'm talking about? That joke.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not really fussed about it. He's just like, let's get out of that personal part, and then I'll obliviate the smuggle, and then I'll operate to wherever I'm going next.
He also did not notice
Tina at all.
Tina, which, you know,
love at first sight.
I guess it says something about
how good she is at stealth.
Yeah, she's so stealth, super stealth. Guys,
with her collar up and her
so
hat down low,
stealth.
Didn't even notice
her. Hot dog and the pillar. The pillar goes play the key role. So Newt's like, for the last time, you pilfering pest, paws off what doesn't belong to you. He looks at Jacob.
How are you yelling at someone to go against their nature? You know, I feel like that's rude.
So Newt shuts the case, looks at Jacob and says, I'm awfully sorry about all that. Jacob is like, what the hell is that? Newt's like, nothing that needs to concern you. Unfortunately, you've seen far too much. So if you wouldn't mind. So he's just obliviating muggles willy-nilly. He ain't got no jurisdiction. He ain't got no jurisdiction. He's not getting paid for this. Does he even know how to, like, how does he know how to obliviate? You know what I mean? I just feel like.
I mean, considering the way Newt lives his life, I feel like he's had to do it a few times.
Wild.
He's got some practice.
Yeah. So he's trying to find his wand and turns back his back on Jacob, which is like. Didn't you just have your wand out?
Right.
So now you're trying to find your wand. He turns back on Jacob. Jacob takes the opportunity, seizes his case, and swings it violently at Newt, who is knocked to the ground, which is just like, and then he runs for, but again, it's just like, it's so contrived. Newt holds his head a moment, looks after Jacob, who has hurried down the alleyway and into the crowd. Bugger. Tina comes walking down the side street with purpose. Newt gathers himself, picks up his case, and trying to be nonchalant, walks towards her. As he passes her, Tina grabs Newt's elbow and disapparates because he is going
to jail. Enough is enough. Needs to be. But also, Jacob leaves and he's like, oh, shoot.
Darn. I'm out.
Oh, well.
All right. So who's your MVP?
The Niffler. I just feel, like I said, you know, people do what they're supposed to do. You know, what they're designed, what they're made for, their purpose. The Niffler found his purpose and is going for it and is, like, fulfilling it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like goals, you know?
Yeah.
I aspire.
I, too, made the Niffler my MVP because he's just, you know, a really good role model for chasing your own bag.
And your dreams.
And your dreams.
To chase
your
more bags.
Chase more bags. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was not going to let Newt's hating ass keep him down. And I appreciate that.
We stand.
He's an icon.
Imani MVPs the Niffler. Maggie says, the Niffler, catch your dreams and shackle it to your heart. Zay, who's been with us since we started, said, the guy who told the Newt his egg was hatching, Jacob Kowalski. but his backup is the Niffler. He then says, Jacob for sharing his briefcase pastry so freely. I mean, I guess. But, you know, I would hold off on that because we do not know the proof. We don't know the flavor profile. I just think, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just go ahead and MVP someone until you.
Because we don't really know. Like, it could be underbaked.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Bingley had eaten into it and it went back to dough.
Mm-hmm.
That's a yikes.
You know when you press a thumb in it and it doesn't snap back?
Yeah. And the presentation. It's a red flag. Is the presentation informal? Because that would be a shame, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, depending on how the passkeys are designed, if you open, like, the briefcase and they're, like, they look like little coins.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Yeah. You know, but we just don't have enough information.
We don't know. Yeah, it really need to know what it's like when you cut into it.
Yeah, and that's the test.
Yeah.
Samnika MVPs the Niffler for securing the bag and stealing from the capitalist institution. Also, yes, can we just also talk about, he's like at the Citibank saying F you, F capitalism, yeah. Or not really F capitalism. He's like, you know, give, steal from the rich, give to myself.
Yeah, you know.
It's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
Portia MVPs Pickett for maintaining chill while everyone else was wilding around him. Pickett was just like,
the whole time.
What's up?
It took him so long. It took him so long to peek out to be like, oh, what y'all got going on?
Pickett was like, I'm trying to sleep. What is going on?
Y'all apparating and shit?
Where are we now? And then Bianca MVPs the Niffler. There isn't much to celebrate, so. You know, it's not an enthusiastic MVP, but that's what, you know, we got.
Mm-hmm.
Bitched?
Newt. What the hell?
Fuck, dude!
Like, come on!
I feel like...
Wow, dude, like, you just really, like, that's what... Because, you know, like, you watch... Like, we've talked about before about, like, the Statute of Secrecy and, like, you know, there have been about, like, its flaws...
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of the problems with it and, like, some of the ways that it, like, kind of serves to marginalize different, like, magical groups and stuff. But at the same time, it is keeping y'all safe. And he's a pure blood wizard. So, like, he's grown up knowing that, like, this is an important thing to keep track of. Especially, and, like, the thing is, like, all the stuff he's doing, like, we know that America is stricter.
Right, which is like, he should, like, know that laws. Too.
You should know but that when you're coming,
like,
there.
But on top of
it is. But the thing is,
our,
like,
British,
you know, it's
privilege.
Right. It's like, you know, it's stricter. But even if you didn't know that, you know, none of this would fly back home.
Yeah.
Like, period. There's no way. So, like, he was really just out. Maybe he panicked and was just like.
But my thing too is, okay, obviously I also bench Newt. My thing too is, like, what I say when I'm like, this is peak imperialistic privilege, is that, like, when you go travel abroad, like, I've had this issue. Like, I went to Paris, which is still a Western-ass country, right? Mm-hmm. But we went for New Year's. And the people that I was with was like, oh, we'll just go to a bar on New Year's. And I was like, that's not how that works here.
Yeah.
Because the culture in France and in Paris is, like, people rent out bars because their apartments are small, mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's, like, a lot of private parties. And, like, so you have to have a plan for New Year's, yeah. right? Like, and you need to know, like, the culture of the place that you're visiting to, one, get the most out of it, mm-hmm. and two, to not, like, just be, like, fluently, like, offending people. Like, if you, again, using Paris as an example, if you go to Paris and you just start speaking English to a Parisian, they're going to be like, fuck off. Like, they want mm-hmm. you to, like, and as much as they hate people who speak bad French, they hate people who don't try to, like, speak to them in their language mm-hmm. first. They hate the assumption that everyone knows English or should know English. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a valid, like, criticism mm-hmm. of, like, Americans, for one, because we don't know other languages, but, like, just English, like, imperialism, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you're out here, you're wild and all this other stuff. It's against the statute of secrecy, which you should know, should have been drilled into you. Mm-hmm. But you're also just, like, being a bad, like, actually traveling like an American, so good on ya, I guess. Like, just being a bad, like, world citizen. Yeah. Like, at least, like, you know, you go somewhere new, pick up after yourself, man. Right. Like,
and I don't, like, dislike Newt really at all. Right. Actually, honestly, like, I'm pretty indifferent to him. But, like, I remember watching it, and it didn't make me not like him. But I was definitely like, what is he doing? Like, I remember watching it the first time being like, what is wrong with this man? And, like, why is he here? And, like, what is happening? Because this right. is just not what you do. Like, you just don't.
He literally gave me Lockhart vibes, which is, mm-hmm. like, which, I mean, not true, but, like, yeah. when I first met Gilroy Lockhart, I was like, he's harmless, he's annoying,
yeah,
and he's a bumbling idiot, but he's not malicious, he's right. not, like, a Voldemort-type character, mm-hmm. like, he's not evil.
Yeah.
But and he that's, is...
like, before you knew...
That's before you knew all the like, yeah, shit, yeah, the stuff that he actually did, which you're like, oh, no, this you are evil. But, like, Newt did give me that, like, just harmless, like, buffoon yeah. type of thing, which is mm-hmm. just stop, just breathe, just think.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, Newt's benched. Amani benches Samnika for making this read happen, mm-hmm. which, like, you know, okay, but it's not cursed child. I'm still yeah, just like,
not. I'm definitely like, this is, I feel lighter than I have right. in months.
I'm confused by this plot. I don't particularly like this plot, but I'm not seething.
Yeah, so I'm really chilling, honestly.
I'm good.
I have questions, but, like, if they're not answered, it's fine. Like,
it's fine. Cool. Maggie benches Newt. Unlike Harry, you are a full-grown adult and should know better. I know this is how Hagrid is inspired to do illegal stuff with animals. Samnika bitches Amani for trying to make me feel guilty and correctly making me admit to my propensity for splurge spending and my moment of weakness back in November. I mean, just love the back and forth yeah. here, guys. I think you should work this out. After the recording, come to an agreement and a truth. We can moderate if you need. We can be the mediators here. Samnika then said, I promise to keep my coins in my bag from now on. That's the wrong
lesson. That's not the lesson.
That's not the lesson. You heard us earlier. We're trying to pay people for Critical Companion. Oh, God. Bianca benches Newt acting a whole fool in front of these muggles. Pajik. How do you say that? Pajik?
Yeah.
I never. You know when it's something that you read?
She put a pronunciation.
But I don't know how to read those either.
But it was a while ago. Or I don't remember where it was.
I don't.
Anyway. I don't know how to read that. Page Eek. Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
I knew that. I was like, I'm pretty sure. But it's been a minute. Or it's page been a long. Eek, actually, it was probably like yesterday, but it's been some hours.
Yeah. Page Eek, which is the Black Girls Create Americanized way of saying Muggle.
Well.
Portia's.
But.
In a certain region.
Snatched it.
Right. They benches Newt. Feels like even if there was mutual respect and kinship and all that, he still seems like he's doing quite a bit. In fact, even at Hogwarts, it's just entirely too much. Which is, like, a feat, right?
Hogwarts. Because we've been watching, like, you know, we've read all the books, we've watched all, we know what's wild in the wizarding world, so then he comes just all full tilt, and you're just like, where are we?
We know Hagrid.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what? I was a little bored. What if I crossbred?
A manticore and a damn,
and just, let's see.
Yeah.
You know? Fire crab and a manticore, let's just see.
Yeah.
You know, we got, like, Lockhart out here taking people's bones for no reason. And yet, Newt showed up and we were like,
yo, chill. Damn, son.
Portia benches people who can understand xenophobia against white ethnic groups in the past, yet can't see the issue with perpetrating colonization in their own works.
An intellectual, okay.
An intellectual. Let me just, I don't know if you knew this about Portia, our director agent of shade. She
and of strategic partnerships.
And of strategic partnerships. But also, in the context of this, a fucking intellectual. She does this for a living. She'll tell you. She'll read you the filth and then cite it. And her, like, resource page, her references page will just be, like, perfect. The bibliography will be no mistakes. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Whew.
Now we can go watch the Packers.
Perfect timing. Like, we. Thanks for listening. Next week, one thing I really like about these is these are all, like, an hour long.
Yeah.
It's like, we're like, oh, we in here. Thanks for listening. Next week, we will discuss scenes 17 through 24 of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So follow along and let us know who you think is the real MVP and who is benched for the section. And then join the conversation on Twitter, @WeBlackAndNerds, #WizardTeam. Stay tuned for more Black Wizard History announcements and things. And
#submit to Black Wizard History.
Yep. And submit to the Critical Companion if you, you know, are Black and want some coins and want to write some things.
And if you've never written before, don't let that stop you. If you have an idea, let us know. We will be there.
We can work you know, it out. We'll work it out. We'll, like, help you through the process. Connie is the main editor of the Critical Companion, but, like, we both look at stuff and can give you suggestions and all that kind of stuff. And it should, it'll
the
be cool.
The only thing that you need to be to submit to the Critical Companion is Black.
I mean, it has to be on theme, but, like, that's...
Yes, but I'm...
But, like,
you know
other,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't got to be a professional writer.
No.
You don't have to have done this before. Mm-mm. You know? Just be Black with thoughts and emotions and feelings.
Okay. Yes. All right. Cool. Thanks. And see y'all
next week.